All right, welcome back. This is episode 249. We're back with another weekly Shill Farm podcast, hosted on your very own bullshit platform through my little Shill mic now. Chris has got a big Shill mic.
Yeah,
mine's big. I feel very inadequate in the Shill arena. At least we're both still thick as mint. Format is simple. We release a minimum of 4 shows a month. Members get full podcast plus download. Always available at sheepfarm.co.uk. Non-members get part one plus download. As I said, all new shows are released at sheepfarm.co.uk and always on a Saturday. We also release part one on Podomatic, that distribute them out to Spotify, Amazon, Audible and to Apple. This week as well, I will put up the first video. It's from the podcast we did with Andrew and Mark Conlon. Andrew Johnson and Mark Conlon. It's already up there now. So what we've decided is, I think we mentioned this last week, that all members get the video for free, because basically members have paid for it. Simple fact. Can't remember how much it cost. It was about 1,500 quid to set all that up. It was something like that, yeah. Because it's not just setting it up. You've got to buy the video player, get it on the website. You've got to have storage at the other end so you can store the videos. You've got to upgrade your bloody hosting platform. There's several different things behind the scenes that you've got to do as well. So, yeah. So members will get that. There's also an option to download it. So now, for £2 a month, you don't just get the audio full podcast. You get the video podcast as well. So you can make your mind up which one you want to watch or listen to.
Well, that's what people are asking for.
Yes.
Yeah. I asked... Well, a few people told me at the live show, and I asked a few people at the live show.
Yeah.
And that's what they were interested in seeing.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah. And so I think it'll bring another, I'm a bit concerned about if lots of people watch it, what's it going to do with the website? I might have to get some more bandwidth for the website. It might batter website. Chris is looking at me blankly. But
no, I'm thinking, I just have to worry about that when it happens, won't I?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So yeah, please subscribe to the website for email notifications for all new shows and podcasts and any events that we're doing as well. We always email them out. And you can join Chris on Instagram as well with his merry band of men and women.
Mm-hmm.
People will think they're cats.
How many have we got on there now on Instagram? Let me have a look. There is 1,281 following it, but we get follow it. Like, this happened when we first started. I get follow people following us, and I look, and the number didn't go up.
Right.
I'm pretty sure it didn't go up.
A bit like YouTube. I mean, it does go up a little bit.
It does occasionally.
Only about 100 a month it goes up by, does YouTube. 150 or something like that. So this time next year, Rodney. So email info at sheepfarm.co.uk if you want to. And Chris's, I've updated the link for Chris's Gaping Gobs.
Well, actually, when I mentioned that, I put it on Instagram as well, that new bottle opener I've done, which is the Sheep Farm logo with a bottle stop and a couple of badges that I got done for the live show.
Right.
And I sold two or three of them. I sold three straight away. Right. And people are asking for the badges. I don't know how I'm going to work that out. If people want, I don't know.
Don't ask me. You started it.
Well, to be fair, the badge thing's a good thing, isn't it? I might charge you £5 or something for 4 badges, just right. For posting them and stuff. I'm just trying to work out how to do it.
Royal Mail, normally.
No, what I mean is how they pay us to do it, kind of thing. I'll work it.
You could put a badge pack on the Sheep Farm shop.
Yeah.
Badge pack.
I don't know how you do it, though. I don't know how you'd have to find a dropship shop place that does it. I can't do it myself, can I?
No.
So, anyway. I've had a few messages, people asking for the badges. They're pretty good, actually. I've got a thick as mint one. Got that Sheep Farm, that yellow logo, established 2020.
Spider asked me, where does the thick as mint come from? And I went, what, do you mean originally come from? And he went, no, why have you made a badge of thick as mint? Because Jacob he came into clinic today to pick some supplements up, and Jacob had them, and he would give Spider some, and So I told him the story. Don't you listen, Spider? Like, one of my best mates. He does listen, actually.
He might not listen every week, though.
No, he might not.
And you bring it up all the time.
I know.
Spider, you thick twat if you're listening.
you're thick as mince. And you're a mincer.
I spoke to one of my mates today.
Right.
Still got a couple. It's surprising how many, the reaction you get, because we spoke to Matt Letizia, and obviously I don't know football, but it's surprising. I'm just judging the reaction I get. I get a totally different reaction when I say we do a podcast, and I say it's getting some people glaze over. Mm. But when certain bold blokes, when you say it's him, you have a totally different reaction. Mm. It's quite interesting. And I text my mate, and he said he's going to listen to it. He's got no interest in what we talk about. But he's going to listen to that one because he's on it. It's just weird. That's what I was going to say. So I was telling him, I was having a conversation with him today, you know, my mate Bob from up north. And I was telling him the Dom Jolly thing, and he was pissing himself. And I said, I'll send you a picture.
Did you actually talk to him, Bob?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, right.
Bob, yeah. So I said, I hadn't spoken to him for ages, and I told him about it. And I said, I'll send you a picture of the badge, and maybe go on Facebook and put it on Dom Jolly's. And he could even slag us off and say, these fucking idiots have printed this out. So it's because we could be funny, wouldn't it? Just to see what happened. Or is that really childish? That is really childish.
I'm glad we take ourselves seriously.
It's a bit childish, isn't it? It'd be funny, though, wouldn't it?
Not wrong with that.
Just get someone to do it.
Yeah.
But it'd be funnier if you did it as if you were slagging us off.
I don't know. It don't really matter, does it?
No. But that now exists in the world.
Why not ask him if his...
thick as mince badge and apron and T-shirt and vest.
Why not ask him if his dad if his dad wouldn't let him run businesses because he was thick?
He might want a badge.
He might want a badge. I mean, if he really had a good sense of humour, he'd take a badge, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I would.
Yeah. Yeah. Take a badge.
Yeah, I would. You would, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Childish, but funny.
Yes, childish, but funny. I'm going to, this week, you know, supplements, I'm going to do an offer for, you know, the kids' multi that your Sicily takes.
Mm.
You know, like I did the other month for the Be Regular.
Mm.
I'm going to do 35% off that strawberry bubblegum Lipsomal that kids take.
She likes that. You sent me some more down, didn't you?
Well, you've got to be careful that they want more, don't they?
Yeah.
I've got videos of kids that have been sent in taking it, and they want more. I think it's pop, and it isn't. It's not sweetened with sugar or anything like that.
She took some and said, that tastes like it did before. I said, it will do. It's the same thing.
I like to hope it does. But, yeah, so... I'm gonna do a 35% off the kids' Lipsoma multi, probably for this month or probably at end of November. It'd be like, what do they call it? Black Friday.
Yeah,
it might be
Caramac Friday.
Yeah, Caramac November. I'm gonna call it. Yeah. Might call it that actually. Caramac Friday.
Crap, yeah. Black Friday.
Yeah. So have a look at it, just for the kids, really. It's a great product. A lot of my neighbours' kids take it around here as well. I've got some right videos back, you know, kids taking it.
Right.
yeah. Anyway. Yeah, we had a good talk with Matt Letizia last week. I really, really enjoyed it.
Different. It was a different thing for us, I think.
Yeah.
In a weird way. Mm. And then this one is John Hammer, isn't it?
Right, then, we're going. I hope you enjoy our chat with... Up? I don't know, because I need to go. I hope you enjoy this chat we have with John Hammer. It's Hammer time.
Yeah, good quality as always.
We'll see you in part 2 if you join us there. All right, welcome back. This is Sheep Farm episode 249. Getting close to that 250 mark, Chris.
Aye, fucking hell.
Yeah,
too far.
And tonight, joining me and my rubber-lipped brother, we've got
two kettle.
Yeah. That actually genuinely hurts. Actually, I used to get called rubber-lipped.
So did I. In fact, somebody used to call me
Dingy Lips, rubber-lips.
Batesy. No, he used to call me Desmond the Rubber-lips. sort of like a French twist to it.
And he were your friend. He were your friend.
He were best mate. Yeah. Thanks, mate. See, we're only 10. I didn't even know what we were on about. anyway, we've got John Hamer. It's Hamer time joining us.
Hamer time.
He won't have had that one either.
I've never heard that before. No.
I think you're his most repeated guest, actually, John.
Yeah.
Really?
Definitely in top three, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Even more than Mark Devlin.
Between you, Mark, and I would say Matt Landman.
And Bajerski.
Yeah,
come on, it's going to be top 10 before you finish ruining them all.
No, not special anymore.
No, yeah.
In fairness, Mark, and we have done a few podcasts with Mark, but we don't do loads. He's normally on his
world tour, isn't he?
He's normally on his world tour somewhere, isn't he?
You often do ones with Bajerski when I'm not there. For some reason, you do them on a Sunday after we've done a live show.
Yeah.
Right.
And I get back goosed.
Yeah, after you've been working. Yeah. Mm. But yeah. But in fairness, it's not, I know, like you were saying earlier, what we're going to talk about. I think, well, we've come unarmed this time. Normally, you might have a presentation or some kind of discussion point. But I think it's good to just chinwag. I mean, the whole reason why the discussion me and Chris had when we set the podcast, one of the things, apart from the deep dive research stuff, was I want it to be like when, you know, you ring me up or I ring you up. We end up on phone for an hour talking about all this stuff. I want it to be a little bit like that, or if somebody's in a pub having a chinwag or having a meal, you know. There's so much to talk about other than the stuff we research and that. It's endless,
isn't
it?
That's true. Absolutely, yeah. No, I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that.
Yeah. Anyway, before we start, were you going to talk about those Nazi badges that you've had done?
Well, no, I didn't mean Nazi badges. I did them for the live show, but me, John, and his missus had a discussion. Well, I had badges done before, but it was about doing one with just a symbol on it rather than it just being Sheep Farm. And I've used that logo that we've been using. It's a small club. So I think the idea was, wasn't it, John, that if you were wearing one and you saw someone else in one, if it could ever spread that wide, who knows, you'd recognise that they were in the secret small group of
Nazis.
Well, every time, once it gets going, every time I do a podcast, you know, with other, you know, because I actually do podcasts with other people besides yourselves, guys.
I hope you're not cheating on us.
Sorry.
Yeah, listen to one, John. It was fucking rubbish.
I turned off after two minutes.
Couldn't even listen to it.
All right, fair.
Just felt betrayed. Yeah. Go on, sorry, John.
No, I was going to say, when I go on other podcasts, I shall get them to talk about it as well. So, you know, I try and spread the word that way, and hopefully it will take off. I hope it does anyway. Anyway,
it's basically so you don't have to cut through the nonsense. You can see someone and you know straight away that you're aligned with them, if you like. More than you're like doing it for some kind of rainbow charity.
I did it before with those pins. I got some, but they were quite expensive. But I got the idea from the Nazis. When they had little Nazi badges.
You go, boss.
Spread that round.
Yeah.
Well, they're all wearing badges now. We were on with, who is it, Matt Letizia the other day, and he said about a minute before they were ready for recording, they made him put a Black Lives Matter badge on.
Mm.
He said they were fuming all the way through what they were doing.
Before he recording what? Sorry.
Sky Sports. Yeah,
Sky Sports. Saturday. Yeah, he's not on that anymore, is he?
No. And that's one of the reasons why he's not on there.
Right, because he refused to wear it.
He said, "Do I need to wear this?" He said, "Well, it's in your best interest." And he said he put it on because they had a minute. You know, it was a minute before they were going to go on to film. And he said he was fuming all the way through it. And he took it off. Right. And said, "I'll never wear that again." And then he had a Zoom call with the HR department.
Mm. Yeah, come and pick your cards up. Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, just for speaking.
Well, there's 300 of these out in the ether somewhere because we got rid of about 300 again. My way at the live show the other week.
I did it right. That's right. Yeah.
Probably made a mistake of getting four different ones because everyone wanted one of each.
Could you send a thick as mince one to Dom Jolly?
Yeah. I wonder how
care of the BBC.
I wonder how I could do that.
Chris, didn't you say you saw him on a podcast, Dom Jolly?
I sent it to you. Yeah. Somebody sent it to me on Instagram, and it was him talking about the fact that he would. Doing the, he was with that other guy, what's that comedian called?
Russell Howard.
Russell Howard.
Twat.
Yeah. Imu said, if you hadn't give your kids jibber jabs, you're an effing idiot. So I've never kind of liked him since I heard him say that. But he was on his podcast talking about, not Ozempic, but one of those...
Mounjaro.
Yeah, that. The fact that he's doing it. But then when you look at it, it seemed like an advert for it to me. Told the story of how he discovered it and then ended up doing it himself.
Well, whether he's getting paid for it or not, he's certainly selling it, because I did watch a little bit of it. I couldn't watch it all because I just can't do it listening to him. But he was actually selling it.
He was selling
it. So that's slimming drug?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of them. Yeah.
Well, it's supposed to be dangerous, isn't it? It's supposed to be lethal, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It causes big C and all sorts of stuff. Mm. So he's saying it's safe.
Mm.
Or safer. Yeah.
It's better than Ozempic, he said.
Yeah.
That's a different brand, two or three brands of it, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you're asking for fucking trouble, aren't you, really? If you're injecting something in your ass and it makes you stop eating.
Yeah, I mean, it's madness. I mean, it's like playing bloody Russian roulette with your body, isn't it?
Yeah, especially when it's only a few years old, John, so you don't even know.
Well, they were devised for diabetes. That's what they're devised for. So it affects all your organs as well. So, yeah.
Right, okay. Mm. I won't be taking it anyway. We're not that I need it, but you know. That's...
No. Cream bun in one hand, fucking fat loss jab in other.
Well, the issue is, you don't just lose body fat. It actually, you lose muscle mass as well. So it's not actually getting rid of just the bad weight. It's getting rid of all your good weight. So what tends to happen is, after they've been taking it a while, they start getting joint pains, back pains, you know, all this type of stuff, because obviously they've got muscle wastage. A lot of the women that are taking it, it looks like the faces have collapsed because all the muscle in the cheeks and stuff like that disappears.
I think most famously, what's her name? Ozzy Osbourne's missus.
Mm.
She's quite she's quite vocal about how it's not very good. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but don't worry, they've got a drug to cure the side effects of that one. Fine.
Yeah, they'll have one lined up, won't they?
Yeah.
But isn't it funny when you actually think about it, right? In this day and age, that we've reached a point where I'm not slagging anyone off here, by the way, but as a nation, we've got so overweight that you've had to come out with an injectable to lose it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just people's eat, it's the food that we've gotten on, you know, to eat.
I wrote the side effects down, so just bring them up. So the side effects are the nice ones: nausea, diarrhea, and indigestion. Serious side effects such as thyroid cancer and pancreatitis.
Right,
death. Is death one of them? Because they usually put death in.
Well, that comes after that, John. That comes after that.
Yeah. Oh, that's really serious side effects.
Think positive.
Yeah.
Does it actually say that in the info that that cancer? All right, fucking hell.
Yeah. There's lots of
that's on drugs.com. And drugs.com, you can sort of, it's one of those websites that accumulate all the drugs. I haven't been onto it's EMC Squared. You probably need to go on to look on Mounjaro on there. I haven't looked at that, to be honest with you, but yeah.
But I said ages ago, I don't know if I, that they were clearly, you know, in magazines, if you looked in daily, they were clearly selling it with stories. And some of the stories are even negative, but they're still selling it. They're still talking about it and saying you can get it. Probably there's a lot of people taking it now.
Well, look, you've got idiots like we've just been talking about selling. Not only were they selling that, they were calling in 2020, obviously, anybody who weren't getting jabbed, anti-vaxxers and all this type of stuff.
Yeah.
So it's just the same thing over and over again being repeated, isn't it? And he actually had a go at us, didn't he? Or me or whatever it was, for calling him an agent, an MI6. But he's an agent of the state, even if it's indirectly, isn't he? John.
Even if it's not MI6.
Dom Jolly you're talking about.
Yeah. These people are like that, aren't they?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, they're just brainwashed into going along with the bloody agenda, basically. I mean, you know, they probably think that they're good and wholesome and whiter than white, but they're actually, you know, being propagandized into pushing the NWO narrative.
Mm.
Yeah. So. And it's... obviously quite clear that all these people, and we're going to talk about Gary Neville in a minute, who I mentioned before we came on. Well, we might as well do it now, actually. He did a podcast, a selfie video of his self-importance walking down the street in Manchester. And one of his phrases was, over the last 20 years or 15 years, I've built so many properties or something in Manchester. So he's already.
Oh, really? Did he say that?
Oh, yeah, he told you that. What had happened were somebody, one of his building sites, they'd put a Union Jack over the scaffolding. And he said, it's never happened before. And all of a sudden, there's a Union. So he went and took it down, right, over the scaffolding. And he's going on about how many times he's played for England, so you can't even question my patriotism, although that's fucking nonsense anyway. Sorry for anybody who's patriotic. But and he's obviously got a backlash. He was basically saying that people who are putting Union Jacks on stuff are white, middle-aged men.
Right.
Right? So, I mean, that's a weird pigeonhole to start with. Bear in mind, he were walking through that wood before Starmer got voted in, interviewing him. Oh, yeah. He went through like a country lane on a path and that, having his ass felt by Queer Starling while he were... So he's actually pushing the narrative of what the Labour Party are trying to push. This were after what happened in Manchester, which, I mean, has all the hallmarks of some kind of false flag. Because...
Definitely.
I mean, we'll talk about that as well. But so that's the basis of what Gary Neville was saying, John. And he's had a bit of backlash from it.
Not bloody surprised.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, I mean, what is so wrong with displaying your nation's flag anywhere? I'm not madly patriotic, but it's just the principle of the thing, isn't it? You know, it's all of a sudden it's become racist to show your own national flag. Yeah. It's just utter bollocks. I mean, pathetic. It is pathetic. Yeah. In fact, a reasonably funny story. You may have heard it before, but apparently people have started painting Union flags and St George's flags in the bottom of potholes because, you know, they know that the council will fix them in 24 hours. It's true.
It's a good one.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah.
Bit of white and red paint. You got George's cross on it. It's pretty bad.
I saw somebody doing one of them time-lapse videos of doing a 1984 Keir Starling picture. So they painted Keir Starling and he was the eight. The number eight, and it was 19 on the beach as the time going out.
That.
Did you see it?
That.
Brilliant. Yeah.
No, I don't know that one.
Might have been over your neck at Woods, John.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. might have been over there. But yeah, so Gary Neville, right? But what gets me is he was talking about how they, as in the white, I don't know, middle aged white men, are trying to.
Like him, you mean?
Yeah, like him. are trying to divide the country.
All right.
But he's a Labour follower, right? And yet you'd look at the Labour Party, and I know they're working for the New World Order, etc. But they're the ones that are trying to split the country up. I have two several different arguments running at once, where nobody can actually stick or twist, which seems to be a theme now, doesn't it, in this country anyway?
I think since 2020, Operation Divide and Conquer has been fully full steam ahead, hasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, to be fair, I mean, you know, every mainstream political party is just as bad anyway. They're all following the same agenda with little tweaks to make it look like they're different, but they're not. They're all in there to follow the orders of, well, it's not Klaus Schwab anymore. I was going to say quite Klaus Schwab, but him and his ilk, the WEF, the UN, the World Bank, the Bank of International Settlements, they're all in it together. As thieves. So it really what we're seeing is a government controlled by anything other than the general populace.
You could actually call it spectre, couldn't you? You know, is that when you look at it, you think that that is actually what it actually is now. That they're being controlled by this octopus that is controlling all the countries in the world because they're all doing the same thing. Well, it's absolutely. ID cards, mass immigration, all the same things. In the meantime, you can flatten a country, kill 70,000 people in 2 years or whatever it is they've killed, probably more, and nobody says fuck all. Nobody says anything. And if you say anything, you're anti-Semitic. What a weird weird turn of events that is, that they've actually turned into the very thing that they told us were done to them.
We're with some friends for Sunday lunch. Hello, Pauline and Richard, if you're watching. And we were talking about digital IDs, and I don't know how we got around to the subject, but apparently when we looked it up, Sweden has had digital ID since 2010. Mm. Sweden. I was gobsmacked. I mean, I couldn't believe it. Yeah. But yeah, they do.
Mm.
And there's so much stuff that you can't take part in unless you've got one. It's not even compulsory as such, but it's compulsory in the sense that, you know, you're going to, it'd be like excommunication in the Middle Ages, you know, eventually, you know, if you don't have it, you won't be able to take part in society. It's as simple as that. They won't actually say, you know, they won't need to ban you from things. It's just like a kind of a shadow banning for, you know, just for the very fact that you can't get access to things. You know,
like you won't be able to go to a pop concert or a football game or
anything,
a pub or whatever it is.
I've got a mate who lives in Sweden. I'm gonna have to ask him actually.
Yeah,
I don't think he knows.
It's true because I looked it up.
Yeah, it's true.
It's true. I'm just meaning that, you know, the actual what it's like being there. I wonder what it's like.
Right. Yeah. Well, they kind of propagandize people into thinking it's for their benefit, don't they? And you know, so I would imagine. If there's no pushback, it's not because people are against it. It's more because they've been conditioned to believe that it's a good thing, because that's how they work, isn't it?
Mm.
They don't just drop these things on you, and you know, because if they did that, there'd be a pushback. But no, if they bring it in gently, and at the same time while telling you all the benefits of it and why they're having to do it, that, you know, it's not what they really want to do, but you know, we've got to do it for the good of the country and blah blah blah. People just accept it then, you know, and they know this, so that's how it works, isn't it?
And they might not even do the
totalitarian tiptoe you were about.
No, the totalitarian shit that they want to do, they might not do it for 10 years or 15 years, might they?
Yeah.
It
might exactly,
just be left there in a bag.
Yeah.
A bit like the stuff they brought in after 9/11, you know.
Yeah, but it is a totalitarian tiptoe, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know that phrase. It, you know, it's like if you bring, and it's like the frog in the boiling water syndrome, isn't it? You know, doesn't notice if you heat the water up 1 degree at a time until eventually reaches a critical point and the frog dies. Mm. That's exactly the same thing. Same analogy.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah. Well, somebody was saying that. Well, unless you've not done anything, you've got anything to hide, then why would you be worried?
That old chestnut.
That is the biggest load of bollocks.
Yeah.
It's not about having things to hide. It's about human dignity and privacy.
Exactly.
You know, it's not about, you know, you're doing something wrong, so you're trying to hide it. You want your own privacy. You want your own details kept to you, not to be freely available, especially to, you know, these bastards. You know, it's about human dignity and nothing, you know, more or less. Yeah, of course there are people who are doing things wrong that are going to be made to stop doing it wrong, but you know, that's not the point. They use that phrase, that expression as a way of, you know, again, it gets in your head, that phrase, because you think, you know, most people just think to themselves, yeah, that's right, I'm not doing anything wrong. So what have I got to fear?
Yeah,
the trouble is to lose. Yeah.
Yeah, but the trouble is, the people that are actually doing proper things wrong to everyone are the ones dishing out the fucking card.
Well, that's very true, of course. Yeah. 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 Well,
hey, I'm not scared of anyone, right? But they do worry me. Do you know what I mean? They worry me. I'm not worried about knife crime wondering and all that stuff. All that bollocks.
Yeah. Well, listen,
I'm worried about what these psychopaths are going to do next.
I saw a video the other day, right? I should have downloaded it and played it, but anyway, I didn't. Lady in the Reform Party in Scotland, and she were being interviewed, and obviously they're trying to make out that Reform are racist. That's the mantra that they're pushing with that party. I'm not saying they are or they aren't. I'm not really interested. But so she said, as she were a councillor for, I think it was Falkirk or somewhere like that, and she said, yeah, being born and bred here. Then she went like this. Shouldn't have said that, should I?
I heard that somewhere. Fine.
She basically shouldn't say that she was born and bred there because she's representing
a fucking
people
racist
that
bitch.
She's representing other people that aren't born and bred there. So,
what?
It's like, what the fuck's going on, man?
You can't say I was born and bred here.
No.
Not if you're one of them, you go, no.
It's fucking mental, isn't it?
But she's part of Reform Party. Surely they should be saying, I can say where I want, tough shit.
Yeah.
But even they're bought into this woke agenda that they've got to follow the language and change the language of what we've been talking for the last whatever.
Well, it's like Stalin when he got asked if that definition of a woman. How can you not answer that? She's got a meat and two veg or not? Yeah. Oh, well, I don't know what a woman is.
No, you don't.
He couldn't say it. He didn't say it because he's so scared of getting some backlash. He didn't actually come out and man has meat and two veg. A woman doesn't.
Yeah. Or what will happen is Lord Back Alley, who buys him his crotchless undies, wouldn't send him anymore.
That is actually his name, isn't it? Back Alley. Was that his name, Fat?
No, it's called Alley, but I call him Back Alley. Yeah. Is that racist? Fuck knows. I'm brown.
But I was going to say, actually, the what is it? The goal to that passport as well is, like in Canada, with the to cut your money off. That'll be the goal, won't it? And then the next time they bring some jibby jabbery out, have it, or we can stop your bank account. Yeah. That's where they want it to get to, isn't it? That's what it wants.
Just like PayPal did to us, turned us off.
Turned us off.
No, for no reason. No conversation. Like YouTube were doing. Turn you off.
Yeah. What would happen. If you didn't do as you're told, they'll turn you off and you won't have it. Because it's already like that now. If you get a fine or something, there's no one to talk to, is there? There's nothing you can do about it.
Oh, no. Absolutely. You just got to suck it up.
I went through a rigmarole.
Don't say that quiz style and I'll be getting excited.
I went through a rigmarole, and this was like a Kafkaesque bloody 1984 situation, where when we went up to the live show, I got two speeding tickets in space of like 3 minutes. So I was ringing them to try and say, one, fair enough. I mean, it was ridiculous because we were on one of them so-called smart motorways where, you know, speed level went down to 40 or whatever and then back up again. Anyway, so I'm trying to argue these tickets and just say, I can understand one, but two in a row in the space of 5 minutes doesn't make any sense. And this woman's like, oh, no, you don't. Anyway, I had to go to bloody court. I got up to court in Peterborough and they basically said, no, you shouldn't be here. We'll pay your expenses for coming over.
Really?
Like, but I rang up. I made phone call after phone call trying to argue it.
And you were stressed out about it, weren't you?
Yeah, it was stressing
out.
Was
it the same incident that you got two tickets for?
No, it was the same drive, the same motorway going up north. So I got one ticket and then I got another one 2.5 minutes later.
There were roadworks, weren't there, Chris?
It was a smart motorway where it were, you know, speed limiter up and down. Because I drive like a fucking granny.
Like Miss Daisy.
Yeah. And anyway, I argued it. I rang up so many times, wrote letters, did everything. By the time I got to court, they said, oh, we can see that you've wrote letters and rung up and da-da-da, and you shouldn't really be here. I'm like, well...
But on what basis? I mean, you know, because surely, you know, if you...
John. What happened is that the first one, I had to do one of those courses online for speeding.
Oh, right.
The second one, because you're not allowed to do two courses, they gave me a blanket fine and points. But then when I got to Peterborough, this went on for about 6 months or a year. When I got to Peterborough, they took the points off and didn't charge me anything. So they basically, and then paid me travel expenses.
Right.
But it was just so...
It weren't just it was a smart thing. There were roadworks, if I remember rightly, and they had two parking... There were two speeding cameras, you said to me, not far away from each other.
No, I don't even think
anyway,
they were
that far. There had to be a reason why you got let off.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
If you get caught twice, whether it's 2 minutes or 5 minutes, you'll get two lots of points.
Do you really?
Yeah. That's it. You're not arguing that one.
All right, I don't know. I got laughed.
Because you were part of the...
That was a good deal then, wasn't it?
Yeah. You just forgot the reason, haven't you? You forgot the punchline.
No, because there were other people there in the same boat as me, outside the court, because I heard him telling them.
Right.
And when he told me, we're like, this happens all the time, kind of expert, you know, this happens a lot.
It's only a few grand in clown world, who cares?
But the point is all that time and effort and money and, you know, all that people's stress levels and all that shite just for nothing. That's where we are, where you just can't get through to anyone, can you?
No, it's impossible. You know, no big corporation makes it easy for you to, you know, and include local and central government in that makes it easy for you to contact them. You just can't, and they don't, because they don't want you to. They want to take your money, but they don't want to provide a service.
No.
Or if they do provide a service and it goes wrong, they don't want to hear about it. They don't want to know about it. They just want to fob you off.
My missus drove into London last weekend, and she had to go. Her dad's in hospital. She was going to see her dad. It cost her £25 just to go through congestion charge and all that stuff, and whatever tolls or whatever, £25. But then when she went to pay it as well, it kept crashing. So I said, take a screenshot of it when it's crashed, because otherwise they'll just say you owe us £100 or whatever in a couple of weeks, you know. But shit, it was really difficult to try and actually. If you use any government website, they're a fucking nightmare, aren't they?
Oh yeah, absolutely. There's no recourse. You know, they don't have a facility whereby you can chat to somebody or anything like that. There's nothing, no phone number, nothing. If you go on any big corporation's website now, trying to find a contact number is impossible.
Yeah,
or next to impossible. You know, some of them do provide them, tucked away on some ridiculously.
But then when you ring them, you're ringing for hours trying to get through to someone.
And then they just want you to think, oh, fuck it, I'm not bothered anymore. Exactly. It's not worth it.
And before you get through, they say, don't threaten any of the staff.
Makes me laugh, that sign. Sorry, Chris. Yeah. You go into a bank and it said, we do not tolerate abuse against our staff. And I think to myself, when I see those signs, I think, they obviously know that they're going to get abused by some people because of the appalling service.
Yeah.
It's bloody appalling. You know, my bank, Barclays Bank in Scarborough. Hello, if you're listening, Mr. Barclay. But, you know, honestly, you go in there, there's one person in there. And, Scarborough's a biggish town. I mean, it's not London, but it's a biggish town. They have one person on the counter and you're queuing up for hours. And, you know, and then you go in and there's these signs saying, do not abuse our staff, blah, 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 you know. And then they'll come over to you and they have, like, people floating around. They'll come over to you and ask what they can do for you, and you tell them, and they can't help you. Oh, we left you waiting in the queue. And you just think, what's the point of that? Yeah, honestly, the whole thing is just a nightmare.
Yeah, well, it's designed like this, so you stop using those services.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And when I mentioned this story before, so like Chris's speeding thing, when we were doing the live show, I sent that show's email out using MailGimp, as I call it, MailChimp, and they banned the email, right? They banned it because it had Gareth Icke on it.
Well, you think it was that? I'm pretty sure it was, by the way.
Well, reason is, because when I was speaking to Jamie, right, he said that back in 2020, when David Icke was speaking out about the jabs and the telecoms and stuff like that, that the MailChimp banned them.
All right,
so the name Icke is obviously on some kind of log there in the algorithm, that when I sent it out, not only did they ban it, but they stopped my account. They put my account on hold, or the Sheep Farm's account on hold.
Right.
So I'm just in the process of changing supplier from emails.
It's
so
dirty, isn't it? It's dirty.
But I couldn't contact anybody. There was no contact. I had to wait for them to tell me that I was all right, or I was sentenced to whatever.
Death.
Blah, blah, blah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
but that is where we've got to with these tech lords.
Yeah.
Now.
And all this will be times 10 with a digital ID, where everything you've got.
Digital ID to... Yeah. Oh, MailChimp? No, because you didn't have your latest Moderna upgrade.
Yeah, exactly.
Windows fucking 255 or whatever it is that they're jabbing into you.
Yeah,
And now they're giving it, they signed everything over to Oracle, aren't they? Larry Ellison.
Don't know.
Yeah, Larry Ellison now, because obviously there's Palantir, which is owned by Peter Thiel. He's Oracle. They run basically a lot of the government infrastructure for data and stuff like that.
So
Oracle now, he's coming up with bloody, 3D, 4D jabs that stick on your arm? Mm. Like printed out jabs stick on your arm. I mean,
They were a conspiracy about 10 years ago, weren't they?
Funnily enough, they're true.
Those little plaster ones, yeah.
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 Now here we are.
Anyway, you were going to talk about... John's book you were reading.
Oh, his Antarctica book.
With Andy, yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, book, yeah. I took it on holiday and read it on holiday. Really enjoyed it. I'm on the last chapter, actually.
Ass licker. Yeah.
No, I'm not blowing smoke up his ass. I was saying to you earlier, if I didn't like it, I just wouldn't say it.
Fair enough.
He did actually say to me, it's really good.
Yeah.
He was on holiday when I were, and he said, yeah.
Yeah, because I don't often read fiction these days, but
I
got it off you and took it on holiday. It's a holiday read. It's a proper little thriller, isn't it? It's really good.
Yeah. Well, we're pleased with it, you know.
Yeah.
We're writing the sequel as it goes now. You know?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm not at the end. It's left a bit of a cliffhanger,
but I won't spoil it.
I'm guessing it must be, because where I've got to, I'm right at the end. But you can hear yours and Andy's voice in it sometimes, which is quite funny in a way. And I tell you what's funny, actually, John, is the descriptions of having a pint are repeated a few times. And you can just tell you both blokes who like a nice pint of ale.
Yeah, well, you know, one of the main characters is a northern lad, so, you know.
Yeah, one from Scarborough, one from Cambridge, isn't it? That's right.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny, that. Yeah.
Thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, I love the Antarctica conspiracy, if you like. Anyway, it's,
yeah.
And you've got a lot of facts in there as well, haven't you? There's a little.
Well, we've got a lot of historical stuff in there that we've kind of woven into the story. So there's like flashbacks in there, and yeah. You know, it flashbacks to historical events.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, again, I won't go into it. I guess anybody's.
Yeah, thinking about the Scott. The Scott bit's good.
Amelia Earhart as well. She's in there.
Yeah,
the Titanic. That's in there. The audiobook's just come out now as well. It's been out, come out this week. The audio version is available for anybody out there who wants an audio version.
Who reads it?
I read the introduction, which took me all of 5 minutes, and Andy did the rest. So division of labour.
Is it a translated version for Andy's accent? Because Andy's got a stronger accent than us. He's got super Yorkshire.
It's from Bradford. Yeah.
Yeah. Might need subtitles on that. That's what I mean.
How do you do subtitles on an audiobook?
Yeah. You've got Laurence Olivier in the background, you know, talking over him, you know.
Yeah.
What's your opinion? I mean, I've obviously read that of the Scott of the Antarctic thing then, John.
The reason I put, and it, that was my idea to put that bit in, the reason that I thought that might be, because I've thought for a while, since I became interested in Flat Earth and became a Flat Earther, that I wondered if, obviously they said that he reached the South Pole, but Amundsen beat him to it. You know, that's the story. Yeah. And it just made me wonder if the reason why they died was some kind of a psyop. Mm. Either they didn't die and they were whisked off somewhere else. I don't tend to think that. I think it's more likely, if anything, and I'm not saying this is the case, but if anything, that they were all bumped off on the way back and they concocted this story about this. They love to melodramatize, if that's a word, these stories. You know, so Scott and all his men, they died and they were only 12 miles from safety after this 1,100-mile trek from the South Pole. And they fail just 12 miles short. And it kind of gathers everybody in and makes people think, oh, my God, what an incredible story. So sad, blah, blah, blah. They do it with everything. They do it with the Titanic.
Yeah.
Everything.
And
you know,
the thing of him getting out and I'm just going for a walk, guys. I mean, I didn't remember that from school because it was such a dramatic story.
That was Lawrence Oates, wasn't it? Captain Oates. He said, I'm just going out now. I may be gone sometime. Yeah. And he just apparently walked off into the blizzard and he was never seen again.
I would suggest...
Watch out for Captain Oates in the sequel. Sorry.
Oh, really? Oh, fucking hell.
Sorry, go on.
That'd be good. Yeah. No, but I mean, I would suggest, it's only my opinion, but like the Titanic and the Scott story, if you like. There's a bloody Scott museum in Cambridge.
Is that where he's from?
I don't know, but there's a bloody museum. It's like 5 minutes from my house, 10 minutes from my house. Uh-huh. I've been there. It's shite. But I'm going to go. It's only small.
What was it really like?
It's only small. Yeah. I'm going to go and have another look now because I didn't really think about it at the time.
See how shite it is.
Yeah, just see how really shite it is. But stories like the Titanic story, the Scott story, I think when they're so big and dramatic, there's definitely shenanigans around them. Well, there is, but, you know, the reason they're selling it so much. I mean, finding his diary that tells that story of his mate walking out when they're all fucking
bandanas
freezing.
Bandanas and passports again, isn't it?
Bandanas and passports. Yeah. They're all freezing to death, and he's going to write, oh, Oaks has gone out for a little walk. He said he'll be back in a bit, and he's never come back. You know, how did... And then they find it in a tent in the middle of nowhere, in that fucking ice sheet.
While his fingers are going blue.
Yeah. Yeah. Does it just drift off? Oh, she's gone through.
And they found the bodies under several feet of snow, but the paper diary was totally intact. It didn't disintegrate or anything like that.
Wherever they didn't even have waterproofs, did they? They just had furs and stuff.
We'll pull over.
Yeah.
A big coat.
I mean, just stinks of shenanigans, doesn't it? The whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, it might be true. I mean, I'm not saying it definitely isn't true, but it's just a.
But what I mean is, suspicion just of the whole drama of it. I remember that story from school, being told it over and over and over again, just like fucking Henry VIII's wives. Things you just don't really need. They're not really that. Yeah. They were sowing the seeds of the Antarctic treaty, weren't they?
Yeah, possibly.
Funnily enough, they didn't tell you about Spanish flu, though, at school.
Yeah. Oh, they killed 50 to 100 million.
Yeah. Weird that one, isn't it, John?
I know, it's really yeah. Spanish flu.
Yeah, Spanish flu is a good one, that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But, all right, let's, shall we move tack a little bit? So, where have you done any research into anything new, John, for anything else you're looking at, apart from your Antarctic book?
No, I mean, I did it. We've done an awful lot of research, not just on the Antarctic, but on all the different elements that are in the book. You know, there's things like James Forrestal, what happened to James Forrestal. Mm-hmm. You know, for those who are not aware, James Forrestal was the US Secretary of Defense who was, it's obvious he was murdered in the 1940s because of his beliefs. You know, he was anti-commie, which is not a good thing, you know. He was anti-communist, you know, he was friends with, who was the guy that was, that put together all the communist witch hunt in the early 50s in America. He was friends with him.
McCarthy,
that's him, yeah. He was friends with him. You know, he was demonized for his beliefs and he was proved right eventually. You know, he was friends with JFK. He was also big buddies with Admiral Byrd, which is one thing that we did find out in our research. They were very big buddies. And get this, as was Amelia Earhart as well. She was very big friends with Byrd. They were buddies.
Did you find that out just when you were researching the book then, John?
Yeah, just researching the book.
I didn't, obviously, because it's, you know, semi-fiction. I didn't know if you'd fluffed that bit up. Bloody hell.
No, it's correct. And, you know, again, without giving too much away about what's going on in the book, you know, what goes on in the book, but, you know, Byrd is, you know, figures in there in the, you know, because there was something in the anti-40s called Operation High Jump, which was, again, very suspicious. Again, for those who don't know what Operation High Jump is, it was an American military expedition to Antarctica in the late 1940s. And it wasn't just a couple of planes and a ship. This was a massive flotilla, a massive US, combined US Navy Army operation. With, you know, an air force as well, actually, with dozens of planes, dozens and dozens of ships, and thousands upon thousands of men. You know, what were they doing down there? You know, well, the official explanation is utter bollocks. I mean, it's so transparent, you know, and it was curtailed. It was supposed to go on until it began, I think, from memory, September, October 1946, and it was supposed to go on till mid-47. Well, they curtailed it very early and said that it was because of the bad weather. I mean, bad weather in Antarctica?
Exactly.
No, surely not. Weather.
Yeah. Yeah, they wouldn't have been prepared for that, would they?
Didn't they read Scott's diary?
Well, exactly. Yeah, you'd think that would have been a bit of a warning, wouldn't you? But, yeah.
Sorry, John, I don't want to be like Dom, right? But just move your mic away from your mouth a little bit. No, you know the actual thing. Just move it out a little bit.
Right there.
Yeah, I'll be all right. There. Is that better?
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better. Okay. He's
bloody
into
hell, Chris. You're getting very technical.
It's Dom who uses it as that and bollocks me, but I thought.
so you get some of your own back.
Well, no, I just thought, you know. I'm saying it when it's necessary to say it. Dom just says it anyway, just to try and penalise me.
Dom's just saying it so he saves himself some time trying to edit it all out. More wasted time with his useless younger brother.
I was going I was going to ask you about that. Yeah, because like I said, I thought you'd fluffed that bit up. I didn't realise it was so fucking.
Oh yeah, but we found a lot of stuff out. Yeah.
Brilliant.
But apart from that, unfortunately, I mean, we've just for the last 12 months and more, that's all we've been doing basically. So,
but that is what you do when whatever you're researching, you find this new information. You think, why didn't I know this before? It's so blatantly. Obviously,
it is mad, though, isn't it? Yeah, when you think,
and it's
you
not
two.
Hard to find. This is the thing; it's not hard to find. Well, you know, it just appears.
It appears in front of you. Yeah.
You've got to have the interest, I suppose, to start. But if you think like things that you two have found out, you know, on a world basis, on a world basis, it's just mad, isn't it, that you just discovered that they knew each other.
Yeah, because they know that, you know, the powers that be that perpetuate all this madness, they know that people aren't going to take time out of their busy lives to actually look into stuff. They'll just accept whatever the BBC and the ITV News tells them, or the Daily Mirror or the Sun or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody asked me yesterday, how do you find all this, you know, genealogy or stuff like that, like what's in my book.
So Chris does it.
Yeah, Chris does it. I said, it's just hours. It's literally. Yeah. He actually asked me, how long does it take? I said, I can't even put a number on it. I won't call it addictive, but it is quite, you do get into a train of thought, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
Sports people call it flow state, don't they?
I don't know.
Well, you do. It sounds impressive.
Yeah, it sounds impressive, yeah.
Well, I do it when I make a sculpture. If I make a sculpture, you're talking like, I'll make a new one. You could talk like 10, 12 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
Not in one go, but, you know, over it. But I'll do 4 or 5 hours, and you're going to alpha state, don't you?
You kind of get sucked into it, and before you know where you are, 2-3 hours have gone by, and then next time you look at the clock, you know, 6 hours have gone
exactly.
by. It's just weird, yeah.
But I think that's part of the addiction to doing certain things, like writing or drawing or making sculpture, whatever. You get addicted to the alpha state because it's a nice place to be, isn't it?
Yeah.
But also, I think you've got to be willing to go through the boring details as well, haven't you? Because there's a lot of boring detail that you dig out and put to one side to get to that little gem. The other day, my wife said, he's a weirdo, isn't he? She's talking about Leonardo DiCaprio,
right?
Not Christian. And she actually likes him.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio. Anyway, because it was filmed coming out of a restaurant with a baseball hat on and a black like mask on that they wore in 2020. He didn't want pictures taken himself. She says he wears that all the time. I thought, right, I'm gonna have a look at Leonardo DiCaprio. And it only took me 10 minutes to find out that it was his great 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 grandfather founded Smirnoff Vodka.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly.
Is it Russian now, or is it?
It's Russian. It's part Russian. Yeah.
Oh wow.
He's got a Russian grandparents.
It's Italian name though, isn't it? DiCaprio.
His father's Italian, and he was Russian, Italian, and German. Were it German?
Wow.
Anyway, yeah. So his great great grandfather were called Smirnoff.
All right.
The Smirnoff Vodka and Smirnoff Vodka. And when the Russian Revolution happened, the guy's grandson or son obviously had to flee Russia because they were supplying the Tsar with alcohol, like vodka. And they set up in Turkey and France. Then they sold it to an American businessman.
Okay.
Always boost talk now. I'm opening a bottle of wine.
John's thinking, why didn't I bring mine? You should have known, John.
I should have known.
Yeah.
I'll have some Chris's
I'll pass you some through screen.
Email it.
Get a long straw. What? Which piss is it today, Chris?
I've got a bottle of Governor. My delivery of Governor arrived yesterday.
Right. I know you can't, it's difficult because you come across thousands of bits of information or big information that smack you around the face and go, okay, no, I didn't see that. But what is the one that stands out now? You'll go away probably and think, oh, there's that one as well as that one. But is the one that stands out now that really whacked you around the head? And you thought, hell. You know, over the last 25 years.
Yeah. I mean, I got asked that very same question by Ant when I did a podcast with him on Friday.
How dare you, Ant? You stole my question.
Yeah, sure. It went the other way around.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, I listened to it. To be fair,
yeah, right.
It's on me. Listen to.
Yeah, listen to it.
Yeah, well, I'd always had a suspicion about the moon landings, but when I really looked into that, I just thought, wow, it's so bloody obvious that it was all staged. None of it was real. I mean, there's so much information. Yeah. I mean, I've written a huge, thick chunk in Falsification of Science about the moon landings. And it's all, I mean, it could almost be a small bookette on its own. But yeah, that one really blew me away. All the different stuff. But again, that's quite a long time ago. And to be honest with you, mate, nothing surprises me anyway. Now, I look into it with the expectation of it all being bollocks. So.
There is still, though, for me, a certain, not like the, say, Leonardo DiCaprio one. That is like, well, you don't tell us this, do you? Like Mark's book, No One's Dad's a Plumber. That sums that up perfectly.
Yeah.
But it's the big ones, isn't it? Like, say, we were brought up in a household where my dad were like Winston Churchill's, what would you call him? Fanboy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. He's the old generation were a fanboy.
Finding out all about Winston Churchill, initially through people, David, what's it called? Irving.
Irving.
When he was doing his, through his book and through people like yourself and other people talking about it. It wasn't necessarily a slap in the face, but it's like, fucking hell. He didn't quite do his speeches.
It's quite chilling, you know, I think, isn't it? I think is the point.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I remember us talking about that fight going back 10 years. Because I was cycling.
It was longer than 10 years ago.
But I remember us having a big conversation when I was here. So it was like 2015. And I was cycling home and I was talking to you. Because I got home and we were having such a deep conversation about the whole, what should we say, World War II shenanigans and, you know, whatever. And David Irving and all that. And I kept cycling around block because we were talking about it. I didn't want to end the conversation and come home. So I had to get cycling around block for a bit. But it was quite chilling, that kind of stuff, innit? Because you've been brought up your entire life that Winston Churchill were a hero, a flawed hero, which is always another favourite. Yeah. Give him a little few flaws, but they're actually a total hero, really.
Yeah. I did a podcast with James Dellingpole yesterday morning, and we were talking about Churchill for a huge amount of time during that. And he couldn't, I mean, he knows about it now because I'd talked about it briefly before, you know, what Churchill was really like. And I remember last time I spoke to him about it, he was like, you know, Churchill was my hero. I can't understand any of this stuff at all. But now he's looked into it since we last spoke, and he knows that I'm telling the truth. So I went into quite a bit of depth about it with him yesterday morning. I don't think it's been published yet. But yeah, I think what you say about the last generation kind of idolized Churchill because they were propagandized into believing that he was some kind of superhero. But if you go back another generation, nah.
You were hated, wasn't it?
You only have to look at what happened in the general election that took place immediately after the war. He lost in the biggest landslide there's ever been in British politics. Yeah, it was, I've forgotten the guys. My memory, I'll tell you what, getting old. I don't recommend
it. So then they brought him back for the Second World War? That the First World War?
No, after the Second World War, landslide in British political history.
Ramsay, wasn't it? Ramsay, MacDonald. Clement Attlee, you're right, yeah.
Yeah, he defeated him in a massive landslide. And apparently when Churchill, well, he had to stop doing it in the end. But at first, when during the Blitz, during the day when it was safe and there were no German bombers around, he used to tour the East End and he used to get fruit thrown at him, abused. He had to take bodyguards. And then in the end, he had to stop going because they just bloody hated him. They just thought it was a warmonger. In them days, they knew more about what had gone on with the political situation that drove Britain into the war than we do now. The version that we hear now is just utter made up nonsense.
Yes.
Okay. You know the fact that Chamberlain came back from Munich with waving his piece of paper as he came down the plane steps. You've seen that video, have you? Yeah. Peace in our time was the slogan.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and he was labelled an appeaser, and somehow
a traitor at times as well. Yeah, a traitor,
absolutely. And somehow that word came, you know, because of psychological connotations, it came to have negative, you know, where somebody who's an appeaser, you'd think that'd be a good thing.
Yeah.
But during that period, appeaser had actually been turned into a negative word. That this man is actually negotiating with Hitler. This demon, you know, and.
Well, we're still there now, aren't we, John? If you remember the beginning of the Russian, whatever the fucking hell that is, and do you remember that Russian general came up and everyone stood up and walked out? You're like, how old are you? Like six? You're talking about a bloody apparent war, whatever else going on there.
But
you know what I mean? That kind of like mourned you. Oh, no, we're not talking to him. He's definitely the guy you should be talking to if you're trying to stop us. But wasn't Churchill, wasn't he instigated in the First World War as well?
Yes.
It was well. He was the guy who instigated the Dardanelles campaign. Yeah, he sent thousands upon thousands of young men to the deaths. You know, the man was a demon. I mean, and I don't mean that metaphorically. I mean it literally. He was a demon.
Was it the Kaiser in Germany was known as the peacekeeper of Europe, wasn't it?
Yes. Absolutely, yeah.
And then we've got Churchill, who just.
But you see, what happened was in the early part of the 20th century, Germany, the powers that be, the people who were holding all the power, mainly Britain at that time, but France and the USA, they decided that Germany was a massive threat to them. So they concocted ways to destroy Germany, and they managed it through two world wars. Obviously, Germany's risen again now, but Germany has been sucked into the new world order. So it doesn't matter. Mm. They're on our side now.
Yeah.
But at one time, they saw them as a massive threat in terms of stealing sales markets. Churchill said as much. You know, he says, I don't care whether it's a Jesuit priest or or Adolf Hitler that's in charge of Germany. We need to destroy it. So, you know, that just
probably
tells you everything
Jesuit
you need
priest.
To know. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
Churchill was, there was a lot of stuff going on before World War One, like the Irish uprisings. They actually felt like there were going to be a civil war in Britain. And so World War One actually stopped all that as well.
Yeah.
I think at one time there was a big standoff that's called the military, and didn't they shoot some strikers?
Sydney Street Siege, which was just before World War One.
Yeah.
There were these anarchists, terrible people, anarchists.
Yeah.
And they were hiding out in this house, which came under siege, and there was a massive presence outside. You know, people had come to spectate on this thing.
Yeah.
And they shot one of them or two of them, and the others died in a fire within the house. Mm-hmm. But Churchill was there overseeing it. I mean, he was nothing to do with it. It was a police job. It was nothing to do with him.
And if I remember rightly, when the miners went on strike, he was saying stuff like, fill them in the mines and stuff like that. He was, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was a eugenicist like they all are, but an extreme one.
I've actually got proof that he was, you probably have, but that he was actually at the eugenics meetings in the early 20th century. He's on the list of people that were there with Huxley and all the other people that were there.
Just make a suggestion. Next time we do a podcast together, shall I do my Churchill presentation? Have I done that before?
No.
Why don't I do that?
Yeah, we'll do that, yeah.
I think people out there will find it quite interesting, even though I say it myself.
I'll find it interesting, definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll try.
So isn't it weird that they've lauded this guy around right up to 2020 and beyond? And he's actually fucking pure evil.
Absolutely.
This is what they do, though, isn't it? They regurgitated him back out again, didn't they? With Boris Johnson.
You're setting him up for Johnson. But the films and all, and that regurgitation in Churchill was ready for Johnson, I think, don't you?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, he even wrote a book prior to it, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mentioned it in my book. The actual publisher of the book is linked to the CIA anyway. So, the publishers and all the other people that are involved are all part of the New World Order. They've got to package these things right for consumption by the masses, haven't they?
It's a big club.
they even said, didn't they, at the time on the radio and stuff, like, he's our generation's Churchill. And they give him that same little stoop and everything.
Well, yeah, exactly, yeah.
Flawed hero, you know.
Yeah. Lying bastard.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's a professional liar, isn't he, obviously, but yeah. Mm. He takes the biscuit, doesn't he?
He takes it to another level. The Churchill phenomenon is important because, again, there've been films made about it. Gary Oldman played him recently, didn't he? I'm saying recently, 5 or 6 years ago, in a film. Did he win the Best Britain about 25 years ago? I think he did, didn't he?
About 20 years ago, he won the greatest ever Britain contest.
Yes,
there's a statue of him for that, I think, wasn't there? Is it?
Yeah.
There is a statue of him somewhere, isn't there?
Probably outside BBC, with that one where that guy's nuts are out and all.
But if you've got London, all the statues of people, you can guarantee it, if there's a statue of him, probably a bit of a prick.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's probably true of everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah. No, they're not, they're not there because the people wanted the statue. It's usually...
Yeah. No. So it's like in your face, you get, isn't it? Yeah.
But you don't have to dig far from any of these people. I mean, you'd look into your stuff. Like, by the way, John's editing my, what would he call it, lack of grammar in my book. He's trying to be polite to me. And I said, it's all right, John. You call me a thick bastard.
No, it's not to do with being thick. I mean, it's just, if you've never...
It's not to do with just being thick, Dom. But
he didn't say just, Dom.
No, I didn't. He made that bit up.
It's like Boris Johnson.
I was going to say, he's taking lessons from Boris, isn't he? He's been researching that much of him. No, it's nothing to do with being thick at all. It's to do with whether you've got a leaning for, English. I mean, I always have had. Yeah. Again, blow my own trumpet, but you know, I've always been good at English, and I keep up to it. And I'm guessing you've probably not done that much writing at all, Dom, since you left school.
No.
Yeah, because not many people do. Yeah.
No, you don't.
And this is going to be a good exercise for me on that one on its own, really, because obviously as I'm writing it and you're editing the pages, you know, I'm going back through it. So then hopefully the next time I do something like this in a couple of years or whatever it might be, I'll be a lot more acclimatized to what it needs doing. Well, it won't need as much work.
Exactly. You pick it up as you go along. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
10,000 hour rule.
Yeah. I mean, when I first started writing my books, the first book, I'm not saying it was awful, but I wasn't 100% with grammar. I wasn't, you know, but now, because I self-taught myself, I looked it all up. I went on a website. I can't remember even what it was called now, because it's bloody years ago, but I looked it all up, correct grammar and how to punctuate. And people say, oh, it's easy to punctuate. You just put a comma there and a full stop there. But that's not what punctuation is. It's how you use it. It's where it goes, the comma. It's where the full stop goes. It's where the... For example, do commas come inside or outside quotation marks and all that kind of stuff. Mm. So it's a lot more complicated than you think at first glance. Mm. So yeah, I taught myself to do it because I was hoping to get my book mainstream published.
How did that go, John?
Nevertheless, not very well.
Yeah. Not because it's not worthy of mainstream publishing. The information won't be accepted by
I see a beautiful future where everyone we speak to, all their books are in Waterstones, you know, eventually, maybe. You know, like yours, Mad Devil, Anderson's, all these people we spoke to. But wouldn't that be beautiful if that's where the world went to, where that existed, where everything was up for fucking question?
There might be a bookstore, you know, for the people that haven't got digital ID cards.
Some dusty old bookshop.
You bought John Amer's book in 2015.
We're going to take it to Gulag.
So you can't have a digital ID card. But no, it's an interesting process. I've got to say, going back through the information is quite enlightening as well, because you forget. Right. I'm doing mine backwards way around to what you do, probably, because mine come from presentations, podcast presentations that I've written, like scripts. So I'm writing them as though I'm saying them. That's probably why the grammar is, that's my excuse anyway.
I'm going to say, I thought I was just thick twat.
A bit of both. Thick as mince.
thick as a whale omelet.
But
you need that jab fire.
There is so much going on at the moment. Even more so than there were in 2020, because we had one thing that we were being told were happening in 2020. Now there's about 25 things going on all at the same time, you know. And a lot of it is, and I found a lot of these genealogies all head back to where this is, Middle East, where all this war's going on at this moment in time, you know, to King Fulk V of Jerusalem. A lot of them head back there through the Plantagenets, through the House of Anjou, all the way back to Jerusalem. And so it's like we're coming full circle. Also, it's like we are in the midst of this, they call it the Great Reset, or the New Normal, whatever you want to call it. But we're in the middle of the transition, I think, aren't we?
Definitely. Yeah. There's been a massive, people don't realise it, you know, most people don't realise it, should I say, that since 2020, the world has changed dramatically. I mean, when you look back to what life was like, 2017, 2018, 2019. It wasn't great.
No. But it looked so innocent, didn't it?
Yeah, it was a lot more freer than it is now. Mm-hmm. You know, they're bringing in all this political correctness stuff now. I mean, which was there before, but it wasn't as strident. It wasn't as you know, obvious. Heavily enforced or obvious. Yeah, whatever phrase you want to attach to it. But now, you know, you're very restricted with what you say. And of course, this is why they do it, is to shut down free speech. And that's what it's all about. That's what all political correctness is. It's to shut down free speech. Mm. And they're very successful at it because they make you sound like a demon if you say certain things.
Yeah. Like that woman that Dom were on about. I'm born and bred here. Oops. How does the world get to that point where that everything's turned on its head so much that you can't say that without going, oops?
In baby steps. you know, of, the totalitarian tiptoe. Yeah, that's how it's done.
But that phrase there, I remember a footballer going back 5-6 years ago before lockdown, Raheem Sterling. There were a guy, he were playing, I don't forget who we were playing, might have been Liverpool, but at the time, or Man City, I can't remember, I think it was Liverpool. A guy at Chelsea lost his, was shouting at him outside, giving him a load of shit. Wasn't being racist, it came out after he wasn't being racist. But he still said it was racism. Mm. What he said was, he was calling me them names because I was a black player.
But he didn't say anything about him being black?
He didn't say anything about him being black, but he said he picked on him because he was black.
What did he do?
But they're all. But imagine, right, this day and age, how many black players there are.
Mm.
Yeah?
Yeah. So it's almost 50-50, isn't it?
Exactly. So you're going to struggle to, you know, what are you going to say to someone? Hello, old chap, I disagree with you heartedly. You know, what are you going to say to him? You know, you're going to say, fucking diving bastard or whatever it is.
Is it because he is black?
Yeah. Now that, if he'd have said that, that'd have been funny. Surely people have got a sense of humour, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. You know? No, they don't have. No, comedy's not allowed anymore, mate. You know, we can't be happy. No. I mean, comedy is so diluted now, isn't it? You see these bloody modern comedians on TV, you know, on the occasions.
Even comedians,
Yeah, it's just not funny. To me, it's not funny. It's so sanitized and so diluted. They can't say anything controversial at all.
What we're getting at there is that, can you remember going back into the 50s and 60s where they had the signs in London when the Windrush people were coming over? No blacks, no Irish, no dogs, or something like that, right?
Yeah, there's a famous sign, isn't there, on a rental property,
Now, that there, we've gone from that to a woman not being able to say she's born and bred here.
It's a leap, isn't it?
How much of a leap's that? Or you've got, I'm dropping my son off, and it's a kid got out of a car, and he says, that's that girl who thinks she's a cat.
Hey. Should have gone meow.
Yeah. So there's two girls in his year that think they're cats.
What, they identify as cats?
Right? Yes.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And he said one of them
parents
stinks.
Parents weren't shooting.
He said one of them stinks.
Stinks?
Cat wee.
I don't know.
We've had this conversation. This is where we've got to that in a school, right? It's accepted that people can come in and think they're a cat, and that's fine.
I reckon if I'd have turned up at Saladin not dressed as a cat, I'd have got shit kicked out of me.
She wasn't dressed as a cat, in fairness to her.
All right.
But she thinks she's a cat, or identifies as a cat, whatever. But what I'm trying to say is that I was looking at some music in, and anyway, this song that I looked at in Glastonbury 2010. No flags, no LGBT flags, no Black Lives Matter flags or anything like that. And it came in about 2015, when flags started being put there. Now, I'm not saying it's just Glastonbury, I'm using that as an example. So in the last 10 years, that's when this has been cranked up. And 2020 was the mechanism for going to DEFCON, whatever.
Because it shut everyone down. You come out and they can introduce new things that you didn't even realise were there before.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
I found some old menus, John, from 2015, and they had written for a pub I worked in. And guess how much a cheeseburger was with chips? And we did big portions because you forget how much.
Yeah, you do.
We know how much the prices have gone up. But I was gobsmacked, and I wrote this frigging menu. And we were middle of the road. We weren't cheap or expensive. We were like middle of the road. But
I don't know, $5.99.
No, in a nice pub.
Talking 1965, John.
Yeah, in a nice pub in Kerry. Well, if you go to a pub now down here, I don't know what it's like up there. You know, even just any pub, a burger.
You're in Cambridge. You are in Cambridge, though, aren't you?
Yeah, but a burger's like
posh git.
Yeah. I'm definitely not posh. It's like 17, 18
quid. I can tell by your accent, you've gone posh.
We shut up a minute. It's like 17, 18 quid. On this menu, there were 11. I had them on at 11 quid.
Right, so yeah, it's nearly doubled, isn't it? Yeah.
Because we all say it's got more expensive, but we forget how much it's changed, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's doubled nearly, hasn't it? Really?
And that experience of going to Aldi or Waitrose, I remember going to Aldi and filling my car up for 70 quid. It's virtually the same price now. You know, you can go to Waitrose, for instance, go to Waitrose and get a bottle of wine for 7.50. It's probably about the same price, give or take a couple of quid. Mm. There's no difference anymore.
What do they call it? Shrinkflation.
Is that what it's called?
Inflation, where you get less. You actually get less. It's like, I mean, I don't eat crisps, but when you get bags of crisps now,
yeah, or, shrunk.
This is what they're talking about, or a fucking Toblerone or whatever. It's got two extra chunks missing, or.
Yeah, they reduce the size of things as well as put the price up, don't they? The crafty buggers,
And instead of it being 300 grams, it'll be 275 or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You've got someone in there at office going, but if we lose 25 grams from each, we'll make X amount of money.
Yeah.
Only Ann Summers sales have gone up to Keir Starmer's house. From Lord Bacalli. Double enders, crotchless crackers.
Anal beachless crackers.
When have you ever heard of what's ridiculous as an MP who's now Prime Minister putting on his expenses that a peer of the realm, Lord Bacalli, bought his wife underwear? I mean, what is that? Or
that was on his expenses?
That's on his the minister's contributions.
Where they've got to declare their interests and that.
Yeah, free tickets to Arsenal and stuff like that and what have you.
Dressing gown in a hotel.
Yeah, dressing gown in a hotel. What were it? Rent boys coming around to his house and knocking
set fire to his car.
Set fire to his bins or something. I mean, when have you heard it? I mean, Ted Heath, obviously, that's another one, but I think there's something lurking strange.
You mentioned Ted Heath, you've got to remember he wasn't a satanic paedophile. He was just a paedophile.
Just a paedophile, yeah.
Do you remember that in time?
Yeah.
Other than rumours and conspiracy theories saying that Ted Heath, the ex-prime minister, was a satanic paedophile, he wasn't. He was just a paedophile. Just a bog standard normal paedophile.
Off the shelf.
Clerks.
That's a horrendous slur, isn't it? Calling him satanic.
I mean, He just like the kids, didn't he? Want a satanic paedophile.
No,
I mean, why is that? Why is that not discussed on national TV that we had a prime minister who was proved to be a paedophile?
Because Mariner Springs got bigger things to do.
That should be talked about more than Churchill being a psychopath. You know, why are these things not discussed? That was proven. It was in the newspaper. I read it. I saw it. Yeah. But it said he was a satanic paedophile.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know why. There's no point going into that. You know, knows why.
Yeah.
Because the people who control the media are the same people that control every fucking thing else.
Yeah. And probably a bunch of satanic paedophiles.
I mean,
they might just be paedophiles.
I was talking to a guy. We had a wasp nest in the house, and a mate of mine, like a pest controller, and he came round, and we're having a conversation with me. And he says, "Yeah," he said, I had a bit of a blah blah blah, and we're talking about the system, and I said, "What you're going to do is, as soon as you get over the fact that the government's out to kill you."
Or make you very
everything,
sick, at least.
Or make you very sick, at least. Everything opens up. Because once you cross that line and realise that the very people who say they're out to protect you are actually the abusers.
Yes. Yeah, good point.
Nobody can cross. That's a big line to cross, isn't it? Going back to... when you cross that path, then you pass Churchill and all these other people who've been told the heroes. You're over that line, aren't you, in the sand? Mm. And you can't go back once you realise that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a big pill to swallow, isn't it, for most folk. You can't, you can't swallow that. Most people can't take that.
Well, yeah, it's too big a leap for them, isn't it? You know, because you can't go from thinking that everything's rosy and the BBC are good and they tell us all this wonderful information and blah 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 to suddenly thinking that they're protecting a load of evil satanic scum. Mm. You know, that's quite a big leap, really, isn't it? You know, when you think about it.
And what they want, John, as well, they want us to think that the government is slightly inept. Because it also gives us a feeling of power then, because you think, I could do a better job. I would have done this, and this.
So I'd vote for Nigel Farage.
I still do this, and this, that I want him to.
Yeah. It's just a different face on your TV screens every night, isn't it, Mr. Farage? It's not, doesn't change anything.
The whole system needs to change, doesn't it? But there's the same systems in every country, virtually, really, in a different kind of way. But what it need, why should one human being be in charge of this realm? It's ridiculous.
You know, come on, Chris. I mean, democracy is the finest system that money can buy, man.
Democracy.
All right, then, shall we wrap up for this evening? John can go get a bottle of beer or something.
Oh, yeah. glass of wine, preferably.
Send me your address, John. I'll send you some of these badges up, mate.
Okay, mate. I don't know that I've got your email address, actually.
It'll be on that Zoom link that Dom sent.
Send it over to you anyway.
You're on the Zoom link that Dom sent you.
Cheers, mate. Yeah.
But I'll send you some up, and I can send you artwork and guy get the badges off if you want.
Yeah. Just one final point from me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Buy my books.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Of course. Yeah.
All the links will be, as always, in the show notes.
The Antarctica book is fantastic. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I'd just like to bring up, John, when we did the live show up north and you brought your books out to that table.
Yes.
And I said, do you need a hand bringing your books up? And you said, yeah. So I went down and got some out of your boot. And then you went upstairs with a box. I brought two boxes up. Then you went, just shut boot when you're finished.
did he say the word bitch after?
No, he just kicked me up ass. I'm only joking. I've mentioned.
Yeah. Well, I'm an old man, mate. You've got to make allowances.
Yeah, it's just the way that you smooshed it in. Just shoot boot when you've done.
Sorry,
it's a proper northern way of getting things done. That, isn't it?
It's from Almondbury. What do you expect?
Home first, please.
Home first. I'll let you off then.
Thank you.
I once met Compong Clegg, by the way, you know, from
you do.
Last of the Summer Wine. I met him when I was a kid. I was a waiter in a Italian restaurant in Huddersfield when Italian restaurants were still kind of...
Alla Scala, wasn't it?
Yeah, Trattoria Alla Scala.
Oh, I know, yeah. When they were kind of still exotic.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say, when Italian restaurants were exotic.
Yeah.
It's a lovely
lasagna.
Place to work, though.
Lasagna. Yeah.
Pesto. I'd never even heard of it when I started there. But Compong Clegg once came in from Last of the Summer Wine. They must have been filming in Unfirth. And I was really shocked how posh they were.
Yeah.
Both super posh.
Did they come in his wellies?
No, they were proper suited up earlier. I love the. I'm like, what? Fuck, what? Why are they talking like that?
Yeah.
I know Compong got the Yorkshire accent off to a T, didn't he, as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good. They both did. Well, not so much Clegg, I don't think. But yeah, I mean, we used to see him filming all the time, you know, years and years ago. And I never actually spoke to any of them, but, you know, they used to smile and nod and stuff, you know. When they were in breaks between filming and that. It was a pain in the ass, actually, because we used to live right in the centre of Unfirth. And when they were filming, the place was just rammed. Shutting roads and all sorts of stuff. It was.
I lived in Unfirth for a few
years. Yeah, I was going to say, you lived there, didn't you?
Yeah.
Mid-90s.
Yeah.
Cooper Lane, was it?
Oh, Cooper Lane, that really steep street.
Yeah. We used to walk, getting a few beers in. I remember having a few beers in the middle of Unfirth. Then decided me and my two mates to have a race up that hill.
Good idea.
My mate, he stopped halfway up and threw up. Somebody's garden. Great idea, that. Yeah, let's have a race. Let's have a race up that hill.
Five pints rolling around the gut.
One in four, isn't it, that street?
Yeah. It is quite steep, isn't it? It needs to be part goat to get up there.
Anyway.
All right, then.
All right, guys.
Thanks everybody for joining us. If you see...
Hang on a minute. Where do you get John's books from? Sorry. He said buy my books, but where do people get these books from, John?
Right. My website is falsificationofhistory.co.uk. And there's a bookstore in there where you can buy signed copies. And all contributions gratefully received. Thank you.
There you go.
And I think, like we were talking the other week, you know, people, to carry on this work, we need to support people. That's it.
People often say to me, you know, they're outraged that I actually have to charge money for things, you know, like doing talks and stuff like that. This is my flipping livelihood, you know. Are you going to go to work on Monday morning and, you know, and say, oh, it's all right, don't bother about it.
Guy Anderson, wasn't it, said that.
Yeah.
People actually object to you taking money for doing this stuff. They think you should do it for free, and I just could never understand that. You know?
Well, I think in a utopia, but sadly we don't live in it.
Yeah, ideally, but...
Yeah. If we lived in a utopia, we wouldn't need to fucking write them in first place.
Yeah. Well,
exactly.
I forget what I heard say it. So I heard someone said that truth should be free. Is actually a psyop in itself.
Yeah, probably.
Because
how's
anyone going to make a fucking living? I mean, it frees you up time to do what you're doing, doesn't it?
Exactly. And you can't do what I do and have a job as well. It just wouldn't be possible. Just no chance. You couldn't do it. This is my job. You know, this is what I do. You know, at my age, I was, you know, I had visions years ago of being retired and living a life of leisure, you know, at this age. But oh, no, my nose to the bloody grindstone every day. And get the old violin.
Isn't it weird though, people do crib. You know, people who write books and stuff and say, oh, they're just... People probably say, oh, he came on this podcast to sell his books. Of course you fucking did. Why not? Why? Well, that's what you're supposed to be doing. But why does no one crib Stephen King or Gary Lineker for being on BBC, or used to be on BBC, and then $3 million a year and stuff? It's weird, isn't it? That entertainment seems to be fine. That, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio, even though he goes to the UN saying about global warming, lives on a massive yacht with, like, fucking 18-year-old birds on it. But that's all right. But if you're writing a book, you're eating, it should be free.
Yeah.
Truth should be free.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Never mind printing costs and putting your website up and all that. It should be free.
I mean, just give them away free, John.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I will do if they promise to send me a food parcel every week.
I gave my badges away free at the live show, by the way. They were free. But if anyone wants to buy them,
nothing's free, Chris. There is no free lunch.
Well, to be fair, the way I saw it, fight, people bought a ticket, and I don't think a giveaway is a bad thing.
Anyway, what I'm trying to say is,
I won't walk in down the street and I'm out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like free toffees. Yeah. All right, then, we're going to piss off before we descend into some.
On another thing. No, I'm joking.
All right, guys. It's been a blast as always. Thank you. Yeah.
Cheers, John. See you again. So, send me your address for those things.
I will do, mate. Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you in part two.
Bye-bye, all.